So, I'm going to be talking about soul and spirit, a difficult subject. Please bear with me. Lord, help me please to make this clear, to be true to your word, and Lord, may this be an encouragement to all of us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, my text comes from our passage, and I want to tell you that I'm going to read it in the New King James Version, and I know you have the authorized version, but I use the New King James because I'm eager to reach out to the people who are not familiar with the old King James, and it's not too far different. I hope you will bear with me because I've written out my portions to save me fumbling around. So please bear with me. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, this verse is about knowing. Something that only people can do, and God, of course. So it's very important, especially in the age of artificial intelligence, because we've got these amazing machines who produce amazing answers, but they know nothing. Now, knowing is so important, isn't it? Because we were doing our Bible study recently on Samuel, and we came across the passage where it says that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He was with Eli, and God called Samuel. And Samuel thought it was Eli calling. And three times this happened, and Samuel jumped up and went to Eli and said, "You called." And of course he didn't. And Eli said, "Go back. And next time say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" A bit of King James there, still nestling in my brain. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. So, knowing the Lord is eternal life, because we're told that by Jesus Christ in John 17:3. This is eternal life, that they know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So, our spirits, and we all have one, whether we're Christians or not, we're born, made in the image of God, our spirits do the knowing. Nobody ever told me that, but the Bible says it. So a very key verse is Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, which you may or may not turn to as you please. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we're told there that the word of God is living and powerful, which we know, don't we? But says it's piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. And so that implies that it's not an easy job to divide between soul and spirit. They're easily confused. And we do confuse them, don't we? In that there are two well-known attitudes towards this, understanding of this. One is that the soul and the spirit are the same. That is very reformed. But there are those who see there is a difference between soul and spirit, which I will try and open up. So it is a difficult subject, and so we need the Lord to give us understanding. But to go back to right to the beginning, in Genesis 1, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." And in Genesis 5, verses 1 and 2, we get a repeat of this. "In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and blessed them and called them mankind in the day that they were created." So, what does it mean to be made in the image of God? We're told by our Lord Jesus in John chapter 4 and verse 24, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." So Genesis tells us that we are animals plus, because he made the animals, and he said, "Then let us make man in our image." So it was just a step up, wasn't it? So that plus is the soul and the spirit. Now, we share bodies with animals. We both have brains, feelings, senses, and instincts. How do we differ from animals? Good question. I hope you've often thought about this. Well, I'll put my suggestions. The obvious difference is language. That's big. Because you need words. And we know the word of God, don't we? So that separates us completely from animals. But we also have knowledge, which results in art, science, and technology. So we were told to take dominion over the world. And we've done it, haven't we? We've built amazing schemes for producing food, for producing energy, for transport, all these things, and for killing each other. But they're less obvious things that people have got, and that is consciousness and morality. The responsibility of choosing. And, of course, sin and guilt, because we make the wrong decisions, because we're fallen creatures. Now, it's interesting that animals are innocent. They have no guilt. Because you can only be condemned if you knew what to do and you didn't do it. Or if you knew what not to do and you did do it. Now, animals have brains, and so do we. We infer from Genesis that each person has a spirit, because that is, God is spirit. So if we're made in his image, it must be our spirit, which is special. Yes, and from our text, our spirit enables us to know. You know, for what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So here again, unregenerate man has a spirit. The Bible teaches this with a small s. And it occurs many times in the Bible. I think this is not what many people have learned. My spirit enables me to know. And of course, that's knowing about all sorts of things, knowing about mathematics. You know, a machine can't do mathematics. It can work out the calculations, but that's not doing mathematics. So where is my knowing done? It's done in my mind. And so there's a difference between the brain and the mind. The brain, which is not spoken of in the Bible, The brain, we know, is flesh. It's a wonderful thing we don't understand, with chemicals and electricity going all around it, and certainly triggering things. But a mind is where our thoughts are. And nobody has found a part of the brain which has got all the thoughts in it. Because, you see, it's not material. We are material beings with spirits. And, of course, when we die, our brains decay. They rot. They go back to dust. But our spirits don't. They rise to go back to God who gave them. So, just to clarify this a bit more from the scriptures, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 23, this is where our Lord Jesus was telling his disciples what's going to happen to him. And Jesus and Peter said, "No, far be it from you, Lord, that should never happen to you." And Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offence to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." So there we've got the things of God and the things of men again. And our Lord says, "You are not mindful of them." So the things of God and the things of men are the thoughts that we have in our minds or in our hearts. Because I tend to think the heart is not so much our pump here, but it's the innermost person. So it's spiritual, the heart of man. Yes, what are the things of God? They are his thoughts. And what are the things of a man? They are our thoughts. And we're told in Isaiah 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." So, God has his thoughts. And where are your thoughts? They're in your mind. Where are God's thoughts? In his mind. So we know that God has a mind. And going back to our text again, 1 Corinthians 2:16, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" Now, has God got a brain? No. God is spirit. If he had a brain, it would be a physical thing. And God is not physical. How big would his brain be? No. Absolutely not. He's got no brain. He doesn't need a brain. He's got a mind which is just perfection. So who knows God's thoughts? It's the Holy Spirit. And who knows our thoughts? It's our spirits. So, my spirit is at the very heart of me. It is my conscience. In fact, it is the lamp of the Lord. If you were to turn to Proverbs 20 and verse 27, you'd read, "The spirit of a man," that's the small s, "the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart." So our spirits know the thoughts in our minds. And there's a verse in Proverbs, chapter 23, in the first half of verse 7, which goes, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." So our thoughts are our personality. As well, of course, as our emotions, and which are our material. So there's a mixture in each of us. Because beneath our thoughts are our feelings, which are sensual and carnal, linked to our bodies, linked to our brains, and of course, brain is flesh. And what about the soul? I've never mentioned the soul yet. Well, the Greek word for soul is psyche, from which we get psychology. And it clearly includes the brain. You know, the brain is a very important part, as far as we understand it, in that our memories are in the brain. If we have brain damage, we lose memories and all sorts of things. So there's no doubt that there's a partnership between our spirits and our brains. So I look upon the soul as a mixture of the brain and the spirit. It's something that is uniquely human, but it's a mixture of brain capability, and some of us have more than others, and some of us are losing it gradually. But our spirits don't decay. You see, this is the good news, is that as we grow old and we might get dementia, yet our spirits aren't decaying. It's just that we can't do our sums and we don't know where we are all the time, but we know where we are. I've watched many people die beautifully, and it's been a great joy that they have not lost their faith, even though they've lost about everything else. So, what about regeneration? What about the difference between an unregenerate person and a regenerate one? Well, the spirit in an unregenerate person is blinded. It's arguing with everybody, it's understanding what it wants and what it doesn't want, but it's darkened, and it does not understand the things of the Spirit of God. And we know that, don't we? We can talk to people about salvation in Jesus Christ, and it can fall on such deaf ears. It's not because they haven't got a spirit, but it's unregenerate, and we need conversion. We need to be born again of the Spirit of God, and then God works that wonderful miracle, and we are changed. For unregenerate people, I suggest that common sense is the evidence of a person having a spirit. When I talk to people about this, they say, "Oh yes, there's a great shortage of common sense," they say. Now, sadly, that is true today, it seems. And common sense is, I think, the thing which sets us apart from something mechanical. Because otherwise, you know, if you like, animals are just wonderful biology. They're beautifully performing machines, really. As far as we know, of course we can't prove that animals can't think, but I think there's every reason to take that, make that conclusion. They're instinctive, so they are responsive. They're responsive to our love and our care, but that's learning. We know that machines can learn. So if you like, then don't forget that all these animals have been beautifully created. So we're seeing something that man could never possibly produce. So we rejoice when he's given us pets which are responsive to us. But it's all in the brain. It's all in the nervous system, beautifully designed. But when we speak to people, there's a problem today that people will not listen to what you're saying. And I'm not talking about speaking to them about the Lord, speaking to them about anything. They are easily prejudiced, and they've got their own ideas. They don't even actually listen to what you're saying. And if you ask them a sensible question, you can find it extremely hard to get a sensible answer. As if they haven't really understood, and yet they don't say, oh, I don't understand, please explain. That's the sign of common sense, when people actually respond that they don't understand. Help me, you know, what do you mean? Oh, that doesn't happen much these days. People jump to a conclusion straight away and they're off talking. So the natural man, though he has a spirit, is taken up with his feelings, his carnal desires, and the imaginations of his heart. Do you remember they were always wicked before the flood? Thoughts were everywhere before the flood, but they were not focused on Almighty God. They were focused on all sorts of carnal things that they were no doubt doing. So God... And of course I do love the flood, because the flood is such a red flag to humanity. And today we deny it even happened, when we've got strata of rocks, you know, sedimentary rocks, all laid down. There's no strata in the volcanic rocks. In the sedimentary rocks, all laid down underwater, practically the same the world over. It must have been Noah's flood. And you don't have to be a geologist to know that. You just need to have some common sense. That's all we need. We only need the Bible, and we need common sense. And isn't that wonderful? Aren't we in a strong position? And in 1 Corinthians 2:14 we read, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, mankind is lost. We all deserve to go to hell, and it's only because of God's great goodness that he's chosen some of us for Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians 4:6, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that's why, of course, we should preach Jesus Christ. Because he, by all he said, by all he did, by all he is, should appeal to mankind, sinful mankind. And we must be born again. And being born again, 1 Peter 1:23, born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. You see, everything material is corruptible. Everything dies. It's only thanks to the seed that God has planted in all vegetation and all animals that we actually reproduce and we stay alive. But it's not the corruptible, but the incorruptible seed that we are born again through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. How precious is the word of God? It's indestructible. You see, that's the lovely thing about the gospel. It's not a material thing. You can't destroy the truth, and you can't destroy the Bible, because it's been preserved right from Adam's time. I believe that Adam would have written, because he wasn't stupid. Adam was as brighter than any of us here, by a long way, I'm sure. And he spoke with God, and God taught him things. And in 1 Corinthians 2:9-10, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And then let's move to our text, and I'll do this in the authorized version. 1 Corinthians 2:11-16. Just the last portion of it. So, such a wonderful passage. It only needs to be read. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And how? By being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. I have a burden on my heart, and it is the people who in the West, and who have got such a Christian heritage, and yet are now taught materialism, that they are part of a machine. The whole world is a big machine. They are taught to believe in evolution, that life came about by chance, that there is no purpose, that there is no God. If only they would listen to the gospel. The word of God is what they need. Our Lord Jesus Christ, of course, is what they need. He's what they need. I firmly believe that this book gives us the essentials to last our lifetimes. A history of the world is in this book, with enough detail to give us the fullest understanding of God and man. In our Bible studies, we began in Genesis 1, and we've got to 1 Samuel. And it's a wonderful, wonderful insight into mankind. It's not just, oh, is this history true or is it not? No, we believe it's true. And then we get taught. We get taught how wicked man is. Even the religious are wicked. That's what we learn in the Bible. May the Lord strengthen us in our understanding and help us in our daily witness. Amen. Just want to add about the folly of AI. We've got a real problem with AI, and that is because it is extremely useful. It's an amazing technique they've got, whereby these fast computers, which use a lot of electricity, by the way, can translate from one language to another. They can rewrite your thesis, and probably much better than you can. And even they can write it for you if you tell them what you want. So it's very easy to be so impressed by it. But the trouble is that the AI, whatever it is, doesn't know a thing. It knows nothing. It's just trawling around in this pool, which is the internet. And you can imagine, we know how bad the internet is. So we must be ever so watchful about this and careful to the way we talk to each other. And I know a Christian who is immersing himself in AI. He's doing experiments. He hasn't got much work to do. And he's just getting thoroughly, asking it questions and wasting his time. So that is something that we need to commit to the Lord. So let's pray. Father, we thank you indeed that only people have got knowledge. It's only because we have spirits that we know. and we are so blessed. And Lord, may we be good stewards of the things you have given us. May we be stewards of the truth and stewards of each other too, caring for each other. And so in these difficult times, Lord, we thank you that you know the end from the beginning. And thank you, Lord, that all these things are under your control. Lord, may your kingdom come and your will be done. Amen.